afternoon. Welcome to Josephine County Board of Commissioners. It is Tuesday, February 13, 2018, 2 p.m. We're here for a legal counsel update in the Board of County Commissioners Conference Room. Item number one is a codification project update. Present is Commissioner Hare and Commissioner DeYoung, and Commissioner Morgan's on her way.
Yes, item one. So, as of yesterday afternoon, this was the latest communication from Code Publishing. I'll just read a couple of lines from it to get the direct, you get the direct message. It says, "At this moment in time, we now have a full corrected proof code for Josephine County. The code is ready to go online, minus the addition of the code adoption ordinance after any additional corrections that arise from the following questions are made." And then they sent us, eight pages worth of questions. So, Pat can recognize the email immediately, and I didn't even have to reach out. She communicated this is going to be something she begins working on immediately upon returning. So, I have read the questions. They range from stuff you can answer off the top of your head to some more sophisticated questions that might will involve personnel from the planning department as well. So
going forward.
Mm-hmm. We are going forward. Yes. Okay. Yes.
We're going to have a hiccup in staffing at the executive level and community development for an unforeseen amount of time. And so I was going to put it on the agenda for Thursday, but I don't want to delay that. If you have any planning stuff that needs that direction, you can ask me, or we'll get a planner.
I want to
see it if it's just a planner making the determination. If it doesn't need a planner per se, then I can weigh in on it before we get formal action. I'm going to ask for on Thursday. I could ask for it to be ratified on Thursday. The director's going to be out for an unforeseen amount of time, and in the event that there's something that requires her action, we need a planning director. And so in the past, I've been appointed on an interim basis to serve in that capacity if anything comes up. So
do we have an idea of how long is this?
No.
It's an indefinite.
Yeah. And it's, yeah. Well, it's not forever. It should resolve itself, I hope. So.
Okay.
I'll work directly with Commissioner Hare.
So, is that, Commissioner Moore, does that sound okay to you? Commissioner Hare be kind of interim?
Well, you said we'd ratify it on Thursday, so yes.
I will ask for a ratification. Yeah. I wouldn't mind having a motion of it today, that there's something in place in the interim. She leaves on a flight tomorrow at 7:30, and not exactly sure when she's coming back. So,
okay. Well, I'd entertain a motion to that effect.
So I will make a motion that Commissioner Hare be acting planning director until we have another plan in place.
I'll second that.
Community development director.
Sorry, I meant that to say community development director.
Thank you. I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great.
Passes. Motion passes. So we've got
a case. This seems to be a gift that keeps on giving, but it's the first time we've ever done it. It's an occupational hazard. So there's going to be a point at which it's going to be final, and then that starts the publication, the two hearings.
Yes.
And then am I correct? What is legal's interpretation of the effective date of the new code or the codified code? Is it really, it doesn't go into effect. Is it an appealable action? Is it effect after the 90-day, like any other ordinance?
Yes, at the 90-day point.
Okay.
The 90-day point, exactly.
So we're looking at June, July. If it started
for it to be in effect
tomorrow. Okay.
If we started it now?
Soon. Yeah. There was a timeline that had it, and I think we're on it. We're right in that.
Okay.
That's canceled, but that's wrong. Okay.
On to draft. So item two, draft letters regarding participation in federal land use planning efforts, coordination letters.
Right. So these are the letters updated with the language that we collected last time this matter was discussed. So the language goes as follows. This is the only substantive change made in the letter that goes out every year. Second to last paragraph. Please be advised that Josephine County that the Josephine County Coordination Plan has been updated to include the first Rogue Valley Integrated Community Wildfire Protection Plan, CWPP. To review the full CWPP, please visit the following website.
Okay. Any questions on that, Commissioner? Okay.
And so that could probably advance to the business session?
Yeah, I think that we can.
Does it need to go to the business session to approve writing a letter?
To the board's discretion.
So if it doesn't.
All right, well.
I think maybe it would be important just for just to have it on the weekly business session. So.
Okay.
Item two, draft letters.
Doesn't matter. It's up to you guys.
It's a good chance to talk about it.
Yeah, it's great. The formal action is adopting the plan and the amendment that we made, including the CWPP. But we can talk about it for sure.
And I think, and draft order regarding the Natural Resources Advisory Committee.
And this is something completely new for Josephine County, though not for other counties. I did have an opportunity to interact with one of the Baker County commissioners, Mr. Harvey, and he gave us a little bit of insight on what this is. Now, this is, I'll just say more or less off the top of my head, aside from the suggestions I received from basically Baker County, who has this up and running. And so I wanted to put something on paper. I thought this was basically what the board was expecting at this stage. And so perhaps present it to you to digest. I can outline a couple of the high points, and then we can put it on a future agenda to really refine how you want this committee to be.
Sounds good.
Okay. So, and before we move on from this one, so you'll note that I did, and this is thoroughly up for re-engineering, but I did put on there the desired members. I started with five, because why not? And I said that they would consist of, but not be limited to, a professional from the mining industry, a professional from the wood products industry, an expert in wildlife biology and ecosystems, a person knowledgeable about wildfire prevention and suppression, and a representative from an environmental organization.
So is wood products supposed to be forestry as well?
Good question. That's
a
point of discussion.
And the breadth of the size of the committee is really at the board's discretion.
Totally.
Great start.
Mm-hmm.
Like I mentioned, Owyhee County had like 60 members. I think that we could probably look at the coordination committee.
Oh, I did.
You did. The original committee that formed the coordination plan.
Yep, nine members plus one alternate.
Yep.
And I can bring that back in front of you. You can see the order from 2010 that formed that committee. It didn't, from the discussions that preceded me presenting this, didn't seem to translate real directly into what, you know, but I'll,
it wasn't supposed to.
No.
It was just supposed to craft the plan.
Yes.
Yeah. Any other questions?
No.
Right
now.
All right.
We'll add it to a future agenda.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
Item number three is an advisory question for the May ballot.
Nothing specific here. Commissioner had basically floated the idea of talking about this, I think, was where things were at. And so we're here to take any kind of guidance that the board may have on this point.
We haven't always asked the question. I think we're up to nine so far. I think I've come up with everyone minus one. Commissioner Haugen came up with one back in the day. And so... Wendy has the list of all of the past questions in a binder and their outcome. And so there's a real opportunity, but you shouldn't force something if the issue isn't there. But I guess we have a timeline that kind of started. You've got a deadline of the end of February next week
to put
a question together.
In all reality,
it's now.
Yes. That's exactly right.
So, I thought something about a policy or a direction, a guiding principle or something for the county that wasn't really well defined that has got controversy around it.
I think there's so much controversy on the marijuana issue, but where do you start?
Well, and the other thing is people expected it to be a mandate when it was an advisory question. And so...
Yes, I think absolutely right there.
Well, it's not as though they haven't had practice being asked an advisory question. We've had more practice in this county than any other county. So that's their... I don't think you should shy away from asking advisory questions just because people sometimes misinterpret their outcome. And we did apply some of the element with that. It was a guide that I think served the board well.
I think our question pushed us into doing something on the ordinance that we really need because people were expecting something to happen on that ordinance. You know, and the advisory question was about rural residential and growing of marijuana, which so much of our ordinance that's what it worked around. So, but I agree with Commissioner Morgan. It was kind of a, why aren't you doing something right now? Because we told you what we wanted to do, and go from there. So I think we need to be careful along that line. So I don't know where the.
Well, you're not necessarily supposed to come up with it right now.
Yeah.
But it should have been something I couldn't come up with any clear question that we haven't already kind of resolved around fires, reforestation, law enforcement. One of the questions we asked is the current, state of law enforcement serving the community's needs. 75% said no, And so when people say, why were you kept asking us about a levy? It's like, well, we're going to the ONC issue. We're dealing with everything else. We're running it efficiently, and there isn't any more money left. So we're going to keep asking different levels.
Sure.
Until
asking for an answer. Yeah. Okay, well, let's. So we have what?
Okay, yeah, the final measure
timeline,
was,
end of this week?
Okay, so your next waypoints on the timeline are that the measure must be filed with the clerk no later than February 23rd.
So that's next week.
So you've got two more meetings, basically. I could come back on Thursday if there's interest there, and then we could basically hammer something out on Tuesday or...
The kind of work that is... It's like a ballot measure. I mean, it is a ballot measure. Mm-hmm. So it can't just be kind of thrown together. The initial date was February 5th, if I remember on that agenda. It said starting the process of, we were supposed to have time to hammer out, specific words, because it still is potentially the wording appealable to the DA for, you can't have something that's leading. It can't be...
Yeah, there's a variety of criteria.
It's got to be pretty objective. So,
okay.
I don't know. It's not a big deal if you miss it, but you're not going to want to say, I wish we would have asked that question about the Southern Oregon Marijuana Initiative to at least get the read. But, Commissioner Morgan's point, you kind of set yourself up saying, well, you asked us, now why aren't you implementing it? Well, there isn't any state legislation potentially to do that, so... I think that there is caution, valid caution, to be considered in the right question.
Let's each one of us think about it. If you come up with something, we'll get it to Wally.
Okay.
Makes sense? Okay, great. Item number 4, matters from commissioners.
I have something. There's some constituents that came in. Do you mind if I grab them?
There was the thing that showed the...
Okay. So at our last property sale, there's a number of properties that didn't sell. Historically, we've sometimes entertained interim offers on properties outside of the auction. We're authorized to do that. We don't have a property manager right now. He's trying to get in touch, but no big deal. There's a offer that they're proposing, and I just... Other than understanding what the proposal is, because I think we want to try to keep that separate and have legal deal with that, are we entertaining offers on properties that have gone to auction that haven't sold? The plan is to have a property person and do a sale like we did before in April, and that would be my goal, is that we try to work on that. And we'll see how it goes if it doesn't happen in April, because it does take a lot of time, and this person's got a learning curve coming on board. So,
do we have any criteria that says it has been up for auction twice and didn't sell, or three times and didn't sell?
Once it goes once.
Or one time? There isn't any.
We have an internal policy that says that we can entertain offers.
We have some research on that, because they came in.
Okay,
and so we've been doing research and looking at how many times it had been on the auction.
Yeah.
Pat was looking at that. To bring it to you
it's
guys.
It's a couple.
Oh, it was on all of them so far.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if it's something that just it would keep bringing it up, and we get an offer, you know, I don't know if it's, you know, it's been up 30 times and didn't meet the reserve or whatever.
Yeah, and this one has been up every time.
That's the trigger to accept offers?
No.
Not at all.
Once.
Just once.
Gives us the opportunity to entertain offers.
Okay.
The last time, we didn't do offers in between sales, because we were going to introduce the new 20% program, and we thought, you know, that would be advantageous to us. We have to do our diligence to try to get the best price possible for this on behalf of the taxpayers. So this one has gone through an auction with the 20% option, and it didn't receive
any. And it still did. Do we know what the offer, you know, obviously it didn't meet a reserve.
No, there was no offer to that.
There was no offer at all on the property? No bids on the property at all at auction?
If you don't meet the reserve, there's no offer. You don't get to say, well,
start all over.
I know you have a $5,000 reserve, but I'll give you $499. No, we don't accept any offers other than the lowest possible bid. So we don't know. I mean, there was nothing. There was no bid.
What are
there
we
was
asking
no
today?
Bid. I'm asking whether or not you guys want to entertain offers in between sales. That's it. Because we won't discuss the sale, all that stuff. That's an executive session type of a deal. It's just a deviation from the previous policy we had of not accepting offers, but that one had the nexus of offering the payment plan, we don't have a new,
we don't have any new
proposal for this one.
So I remember when we talked about this last time that the perspective was we don't want people to think that they could just bypass the auction and then turn around and make a bid. And so I think for me, having a threshold of one auction not necessarily being enough, but where in this case there's been four, I think that I would entertain a bid or an offer.
And our purpose is really to get this out of our inventory and into somebody else's hands.
That's the purpose of the
auction.
One purpose.
So, I mean, we have to get back to what was our.
It sounds as though you're interested. We've got one, four. I could be inclined to do that as well.
Yeah.
I think the delta between what we probably get in April as opposed to what we're getting right now, we could incur in liability and somebody doing something with it in the interim. So I would think that we should move this forward to an executive session and entertain it as a real offer. So you just need to put it together.
Commissioner
Morgan,
like you okay with that?
And,
bring it to
yes.
Okay. Put it on the agenda.
Yeah. And we'll see you sometime soon. Or they will. We will.
So should
exactly.
We just wrap it up right now?
Uh-huh. Yep, if that's what it is.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Yep,
thank
absolutely.
You so
thank
very
you
much. You don't know how long my brother and I have saved.
He's worked so hard.
Good.
Wonderful.
Excellent.
Thank you guys.
Thank you so much, guys.
We'll be in touch.
Yep.
Great.
Any other matters?
I've got my phone. Anybody else?
Let's see. There was something. Sorry, just getting back into, so I've been meeting with department heads all day, being that we were at AOC yesterday. And I did have a chance after AOC to meet with a couple representatives and such and just kind of touch base. And we did the regional solutions last night. Wasn't an opportunity to present new projects, but I was able to brag about what Regional Solutions did for our East Side runway, which has led to the Southern Oregon Air Academy and the partnership with the STEM program. So we were able to get the praise from that. But as far as for legal, we had some clarification about advisory boards and quorums and such. Did that question get to you guys today? Okay.
Not to me.
Okay.
But
We're below a quorum in one of our advisory boards, and so I'm going to be bringing some recommendations Thursday. But there was a question about the language of the bylaws. If a quorum is those appointed, and therefore if there's vacancies, that it's an actual smaller quorum, or is it that it's the full amount of the board and a position's available?
Okay.
And so wanted to just verify.
Okay.
Quorum of those present or quorum of what the makeup of the board is?
Well, the makeup of the board,
you have nine, you have five.
But they have so many, they have four vacancies right now.
So does it become three
is
out of
Is the quorum
five?
Now two out of three, yeah. So that was something we were trying to get clarified today, and but we're going to be coming forward on Thursday with some recommendations of appointments anyhow, just to kind of go that route. And one of the questions had come up as far as whether an employee or a temp employee could be appointed to an advisory board. And I remembered that I knew an example where another employee had been appointed to an advisory board, being myself. When I was on city council, I was appointed to LADPC as liaison to LADPC, but I was a non-voting member. They had encouraged me to apply for an at-large position, so to be a voting member. And I was appointed to LADPC as an employee. And I
say it was as a city councilor. You could certainly serve in that capacity. But I don't see appointing LADPC an employee outside
of
the director. Right?
I was a member at large. But I what got me there was city council saying there, but my role as a city councilor didn't give me a vote. Applying as a member at large gave me a vote. And I was appointed by the board.
And you were representing the city council?
I just applied as a member at large.
I don't know.
But you were an employee of the county when you did that?
Correct.
It's how you're on there.
Yeah.
I think the employee is not necessarily relevant. If you were representing the city, mm-hmm. then I don't care who you're employed by. You're an elected city councilor on Lipsick. Totally valid place to be. I don't.
It wasn't Lipsick. LADPC, the
LADPC.
Prevention one. Yeah.
I don't like the idea of staff. Our whole point of advisory boards is that they have a chance. We all have plenty of opportunities to engage in policy or whatever from a staff level, and to try to get that the people involved is really what I thought all of those are for.
It would look like. To people, they'd say, well, you're already an employee. What are you doing?
Stacking the deck.
Not that you couldn't represent
no,
the citizenry.
And that was my issue. So our current situation is we have a temp employee, not a permanent employee, but a temp employee who's helping out one of our departments, but who runs, who's an expert in a field, and they want that person on the advisory council because of their expert in the field in this other area. But they're currently working as a temp for a department, and they wondered if that disqualified them from their full-time role in this other position from qualifying them. And
it's a good question we've never asked. I mean, I don't mind somebody who is in public works being on the park advisory board or something like that, but I wouldn't want a park staff person, you know, signing up for a park advisory. That just seems like a weird nexus, but I don't know that we have.
Well, where do you draw that line unless you just say, mm-hmm. you know, if you're a member at large, like as you were a member at large, you're certainly a member of the community. You know, is that the way
so
you
the
is that the way you look
the appointments.
At it?
We can appoint whoever we want, you know.
Right.
So I think it's just an internal, and it would be codified in an order that nobody would ever read, because we don't do that.
Right.
But you know what I mean? We could say
we have
which
an answer
way
to the question.
Other.
It was one that I realized I didn't have an answer to. My initial response was, no, an employee shouldn't do that. Then I was like, wait a second, technically I was an employee who was appointed to an advisory board that I initially got appointed to as a city councilor in that role, but that was non-voting. To become voting, I applied for, you know, a member at large and was appointed as a member
because
at large.
Because you are a member at large.
Correct.
You're also an employee. You're also a city councilor.
And then I really made it complicated when I was promoted to supervisor, then I was representing my department. And no longer, it was just weird. But I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't making a decision or a recommendation that was based on an opinion, but based on what are we allowed to, per policy procedures, to do.
Anybody can apply.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to guess. I'm going to say anybody can apply, and then their qualifications are hacked out by the board, and away we go. And I think you're absolutely right. It's probably something that we'll never, ever read. It'll probably never come up. But at least we have something in place. We'd have an answer that we talked about.
Yeah.
That's a policy, and going forward would be okay. Does that make sense?
Well, you just take it on a case-by-case basis.
I think that's how it plays out,
yeah.
No matter what.
Okay, but
there's
going to
be a time that it's who
just,
you need, and there's going to be time it's not who you need, and it needs to be an advisory board that helps us best do our jobs.
Yeah.
And certainly you're not disqualified because of...
Okay.
So there's no question for legal. No.
That's the question was, is there a policy or something in place, but I hadn't... Those were kind of the ones I was dealing with that was trying to have an answer before Thursday.
Well, not unless there's something predates me.
No.
We don't have an example.
You're not changing bylaws or anything, are you?
No, that would go through a recommendation through legal to bring brought
okay.
back. So
exactly. Yeah.
I have a couple of other things if we're...
You're done?
Go ahead.
Commissioner, you're done?
I know there was something else I just couldn't remember, but I'll...
We need to be aware of the process of Senator Cruz's resigned effective coming up next month, Monday, March 15th. And so there's a process that's already being explored, underway. Is debatable whether or not the 30 days actually starts from the date that he's left office or the effective date. Who knows? That's a 30-day starting period. And I think legal could probably brief us at some point in the future. I'd rather have it come from you guys than me reiterating what I've heard through the grapevine.
We'll add that to our future agenda.
I think what's really important for the board to understand is there's a nexus for us to do some sort of appointment process, and I would advise us all not to obligate our individual votes or however that's done. I'm not sure. We don't really count for much, as I understand. Douglas County
it's
counts
weighted.
For 55%, and so we're very little piece of that pie, but still a piece. There was a conference call at AOC on an update from Stoll Reeves, and it went well. There was a number of commissioners in the room, and so we're going to get a memo that codifies that report. It'll come to legal, and then he'll present it to us in a confidential memo so we have an understanding about where to go. And then my expectation is that we pick one or three of the options, or there's an additional option that we haven't done yet, but and we figure out if we want to do one, do we want to do none of them, all three of them, four, go from there.
Do you have will there be something, like you said, if there's two more that you would like to entertain?
There's one more option.
One more other than the three?
Other than what was discussed.
My connection wasn't the best, so I'll have to look.
Was it not good?
I heard most of it, but...
You were right there, okay.
Yeah.
We'll follow up on that fourth option.
Okay.
I wanted to bring up something really quickly, and I don't want this to be received as a negative for this program, but I think that it's got to be explored, the positives and negatives of an option of outsourcing building and safety, state building code inspections. It ebbs and flows, vacillates whether or not it's a money maker or not. Historically, for the county, it has been, but like so many things, you build it up in the good times, and then in the downturns, you're living off of your reserves. When I took office, building safety reserve was probably $1.1 million, and up until recently, it's been, you know, been dwindling down. We're slowly building that back up. I don't like the idea that there's a reserve for something you're doing that's supposed to reflect the cost of the service. So if you do that math, I don't see how there ever is a reserve. But anyway, that's the different subject. I just didn't know if there's reception by the board to at least explore the option. There are counties that completely outsource it. There are counties that do a hybrid approach like we do with the private sector on big projects. But there aren't too many restrictions on, but we've got to pick one, and it's not good to go back and forth. Once you say that you're not doing it anymore, I think that's what you'd want to say. So I wanted to bring that up here. If there are any restrictions that we've already assigned ourselves of what we're going to do, I don't know if we've made an election in the past. And, nope, Josephine County elected to keep it in-house.
Look into that.
How that process works.
Commissioner Morgan?
I would like to explore what those options would be, or at least see what the options are. I know there's legislation pending that potentially is going to have an impact on that.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of what brought it up.
Yeah. So as a matter of, do we have a decision in place before legislation is seen through so that we know that it's kind of in place before our hands forced in something?
Yeah.
If we have a reserve, is that level of service being compromised because we have a reserve and when we should be putting on another inspector to catch up with our workload? Are we so far behind in our workload and just not hiring anybody and yet we have a reserve? How are we serving? What's our level of service to the public? Are we getting things done, or is it a complaint from contractors that, you know, I called for an inspection and 3 weeks later nobody's there?
You know, I haven't really heard a lot of building and safety complaints. Okay. Those ones seem to process. Mm-hmm. The issues that I see are on the planning side.
Yeah, getting to the building side of it is slower
than the development permit's underway.
Then it clicks right along. That's what
The one complaint regarding it's not building and safety that's the complaint. It's that when they're involved with the complaint is when they're not in cahoots with planning. And that would be on the planning side, not being aware of the building safety requirements.
More a descriptive word than cahoots, what does that mean?
Sorry, cahoots wasn't meant to be. So planning says, oh yes, you can do this, not coordinating, or not being aware of building requirements. So they're saying, oh, from a planning side, yeah, that's great, but then building inspectors know you can't legally do that. So why is planning telling people that they can do something and building safety is going to come back and say change? And so needing a coordination between those differences so that people aren't getting two messages and getting frustrated. That planning should know ahead of time what's this requirement so that it's...
Mm-hmm. But does privatization fix that? Or does it...
Exacerbate it.
Great question.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the things that have to be explored.
If we're going to fix it, we need to fix it.
We made progress on that by putting them under one roof and in the same office, but... I would say that's a benefit of what we've done, and separating it out to a state or private aid, that could be make it more challenging. I just wanted to bring it up. The last one that I had is because legal issued the confidential memo on joining OFIC
as
a member, their board is meeting later this week on this issue. I had dinner with the director and three other counties that have major timber holdings in the state, and we were all pretty receptive to the idea. And I think it was pretty advantageous right on the tail of Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife uplisting the marbled murrelet from threatened to endangered.
Yeah.
So had we likely been members, then two of the four counties will be affected by this uplisting. Had we been members, it wouldn't be uplisted today. I can almost guarantee it. The initial hearing on Friday, the vote was 3-3, which means it isn't uplisted because you don't have a majority of the commission doing it. 20 minutes later, a commissioner, a revote, and a commissioner changed his mind. So it was close enough that one or two arguments could have made the difference, in my opinion. And so I wish I would have thought about this about a year ago.
But is there any way to roll that back at all?
Oh, there's an appeal coming. There's, yeah, it'll be tied up for a little while. It's
the problem with it not affecting us, but it affects our neighboring counties. It's kind of like sudden oak death.
Yeah,
it affects everybody that's within arm's reach of it. Is what I that's the spinoff. Is it's a net that gets thrown over a whole area rather than just specifics.
Well, the specifics of the overlays that are applied to the murrelet is based on stand. So, and it doesn't have a size restriction on the stand. As long as the stand is habitat, potential habitat for the murrelet.
Potential
yes, habitat.
That's the word.
But we are not in that swath. It's 50 miles of the coast. It doesn't fly any more inland, and it needs a branch of size with moss on it that you don't have in this county. We don't have anything like that. So. We will never be affected by marble murrelet. They're never going to expand that territory to say the habitat looks like this. Where we grow the best trees in the world are within, you know, probably 100 miles of the coast. The closer you get to the coast, the better the moisture and
moss,
everything. Yeah, all that stuff. That's great prime habitat and prime growing for timber. What the industry does is they don't let the trees get big enough to have
the moss.
Branches to get moss. So but that doesn't mean if they change the stand enough, so if private industry doesn't let the trees get that big, then the polygon stops right there where the stand changes. So if federal ground has big trees with big branches and moss, then the private sector may not be negatively impacted. But the challenge is that like the Elliott Forest, the state forest, they're not managing it on a sustained yield basis. They're harvesting 4% of what grows every year. So your stand is getting older and older every year.
Eventually your stand will qualify with the branches.
The whole stand is going to qualify as habitat,
yeah.
And you're going to lose that asset. So anyway, that's a long version of what.
Commissioner Morgan.
I remembered my two items.
Because I took so long.
Thank you. I needed the refresher. MERS?
Yes.
I will follow up with you with the specific information that I'd like you to bring back to us.
Sure.
Oh, Oh, you weren't there, so you don't bring this up.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I just, since it's not on the agenda, I'm not going to bring up the specifics of it, other than the legislation that's pending. Essentially, we were told what the issue is. That's why behind the legislation. So,
well, you can say it. There's no liability with saying it.
Okay, so essentially, the community banks is the reason why Senator Hansel and them are all on board, which is the smallest portion of the lawsuit. So it may be worth having a conversation with the parties involved over the you know, what route do we want to go in dealing with it.
Commissioner DeYoung doesn't know there's legislation that's being proposed to basically give them a pass on, make a legislative provision to take care of the situation to what makes the lawsuit moot. And so we don't want that. We would be opposed to that. AOC as a whole is opposed to that. Former Commissioner Hansel, Senator Hansel, is in support, as I understand.
Yeah.
Because there's a provision that would negatively impact the community banks.
Yeah, he's even with presentation still in the middle of the road, but still,
yeah,
for the legislation. So some of the, but that's the reason why. So then as a group, you know, the potential of what's in the best interest of the group is maybe dealing with the proponent of what would change that legislation.
Okay.
And then the other thing is, the question is now as we're in a primary, at some point we'll have to talk about at which point do, I know that Commissioner DeYoung and I were invited to legal or executive sessions, but it was after the primary, before the general election, that we were invited in that process. Or was it after the general election?
After the general.
Yeah, you.
It was after the general even. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, we're not having.
Okay, so everything's general meetings until after the general election.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Until we have a candidate that's come out with a solid election, we don't open it up to anybody.
Okay.
But it's a great foundation for those who are in the queue,
mm-hmm,
past November 5th or whatever the date is this year, to get up to speed. That,
yeah,
makes sense. But not prior to that.
Okay. I just wanted to ask the question.
Yeah.
And
by nature of executive session, it shouldn't be a debate item anyway. You know, I mean, for a candidate.
It's up to the board. We can open it up to everybody.
Right.
It's not up to
right.
Wally.
There's exposure, though.
Yeah.
But he would advise that,
yeah,
you know, only open it up to elected candidate,
elected
pre-sworn officers,
yes,
kind of a deal.
Yes,
yeah.
For protection of the,
yeah,
taxpayers.
Yeah, exactly.
County's interest. Okay.
But that's okay. That's not something that, you know, is mandated. You know, you could have an elected official, somebody that wins an election in November, and the board doesn't feel confident that those meetings would be held in confidence. And there
not,
aren't any protections.
And they're not sworn in.
Nope.
So you really...
Correct. Yeah. Now, we did have them sign.
Oh, good.
Agree. Yeah, so there was that.
Oh, good.
Them, so, but
okay.
I didn't want to... Point still stands, though.
Yeah. No,
it's
got to
be
go through that.
Done very carefully.
I just mean that to say that isn't a guarantee for people who
right.
are in the room or whatever that you're going to do that every time. It's up to the board.
No. I think the breaking point is the swearing-in ceremony myself. But
well, why didn't you say that when you were coming to the meetings in November? That would have been, I'm just
never
kidding.
Even thought of it.
No. I think it's fine. I think I would rather not have to rehash stuff
okay.
Over and over. If you guys are okay, if the board is okay with that person starting right after the election,
yep.
and they're real, and
it
they sign whatever.
It's an opportunity to get
yeah.
up to speed on
especially
issues.
If you are interested. 90% of the people that we've had in these seats are not interested. They don't come to stuff on a regular basis. So I've served with 8. You guys are the exception who came to executive sessions and meetings beforehand in the interim between election. I wasn't even offered the option. My first meeting was my first meeting because
our first meeting was walk from there to there.
Yeah, and we scheduled that on purpose.
4 minutes.
Yeah. You swear in, you're on the clock, and you're going
to
start
okay.
working.
Get work. Go to work.
Go to work.
Okay.
There was one issue that I thought of. There's liability coming from AOC. I don't need to get into details. Potential liabilities of the counties is due to some financial anomalies and some poor management of associate organizations like Oregon Road Workforce.
Mm.
Similar situation to AOC in a 190, 191
yep.
issue. So just so that you're aware, maybe you can get with Rob Bovet and provide.
Get up to speed.
A real quick, don't do more than a paragraph on it, and then.
Okay.
And we can explain it to, were you, you weren't in the room, that was a board meeting?
I heard about it.
You heard about it. It's nothing terribly great, but I think you need context from my standpoint about what's been progressing in the associations. That's it.
Okay, anything else? Okay, and we'll go into executive session. Today is Tuesday, February 13th, 2018, and it is 2:40 PM. And the Josephine County Board of County Commissioners will now meet in executive session to review agenda items 5A through 5C. 5A is confidential memorandum regarding John S. Foote et al. Versus State of Oregon, case number 17CV49853, HB3078, and ORS 192.66022H. Item 5B is Randy Cossens et al. Versus Josephine County, LUBA case number 2017-122-ORS 192.66022H. And item 5C is LUBA remand Shoemaker Ellison 1995 comp plan zone change, Russell Road, ORS 192.66022H. And we will now go into executive session at 2:41. Anything else at executive? Okay.
Thanks, Wally.
We are back in session at 3:14 p.m. And I think we're all done. So, anything else, Commissioner?
Mr. Chair, I would make a recommendation regarding item C, the LUBA remand Shoemaker Ellison, that we instruct legal to move forward with setting a time and place for the board to readdress this issue and the tabling that was before us.
Okay, all those in favor?
Just moving it forward.
Yep,
just moving it forward.
Hearing.
I agree.
Continue processing the remand. Okay.
And let the applicant proceed.
Yep, okay, let the applicant proceed.
Let the applicant proceed with requesting a hearing.
Got it.
Good.
So
that
is it untabled? It's untabled. That's what he wants.
Yes, I guess that there is a motion for untabling to take from the table. Mm-hmm. I think that's the formal Roberts rules.
From
the table. The issue of LUBA remand Shoemaker Ellison 195 comp plan zone change on Russell Road. Original application.
Okay. All set? You go okay with that, Commissioner?
I think we take formal action. I proposed a motion to take from the table.
Okay.
So it's a
Which is what I was trying to say, but he said it better. So I'll second his better wording.
Okay.
I appreciate you asking for formal action because I think formal action put it there. Formal action needs to be taken.
Take it away.
To bring it.
Okay.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
And then as far as items A and B, I recommend no action at this time.
No action at this time?
Well,
proceeding where we were, but no recommendations.
No change of directions.
Okay.
Thank you.
We had discussed having matters after executive session. It's really important that we not, maybe not so much for you two, but I've already had a letter on the idea that we were discussing matters under previous counsel. We had a provision and a letter from attorney. Thank goodness we didn't get dinged on that one. Mm-hmm. Can have matters under executive session. I have to specifically delineate exactly what. But I'd love to have one that's listed number 6.
That's how I had requested it. I think it was misunderstood.
Okay.
It's okay.
I had asked for it to be a matter of 6.
You don't have any objection to it
afterwards. After coming back into public.
We have to delineate a time. It is, you know, it's on the agenda.
Yes.
The time for the meeting starting was announced.
Yes.
And so, you know, I don't think that there's any negative provision for that. So I won't bring up anything, but I think there are times when I forget to bring stuff up that should be talked about.
And I had requested that as well, but it was misunderstood that I was asking for it to be under executive session, which is not what I had requested.
Yeah, it's okay. We got it worked out for future.
Okay, begin next week.
In future, we'll do the 6 perfect. We'll do matters afterwards.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else? We are adjourned at 3:17 p.m.